The message today is called The Victor's Green Light. The last time we were together, I shared with you a subject called The Power to Be a Victor. What is a victor? A victor is a winner. It's an overcomer. And friend, right now you may be in a tough situation in your life that you created, maybe by wrong choices, or maybe that somebody else created in your life. But today, by God's power, you can go from being a victim of your tough situation to a victor, a winner, an overcomer. Let's turn to John 7:38 and reviewing the last message. Jesus here is talking about a spiritually refreshing experience. And, you know, we've all been out on those really hot days, right? 100 degrees out there, it's really humid, and maybe you've been working hard outside, or maybe you've been doing some type of sport, and you get dehydrated, maybe your tongue gets dry, and you kind of lose energy. And all at once, you find that cold water and drink it. It's just so physically refreshing, isn't it? It moistens the tongue. It rehydrates you. It gives you energy to keep going on. And Jesus, in John 7:38, is talking about a spiritually refreshing experience. Let's back up to verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." He's talking of a spiritually refreshing experience, streams of living water flowing from on the inside of us. This experience was made real on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, after Jesus had ascended back to the Father. Remember, they were waiting in the upper room, 120. And all at once, what fell? In Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit fell, and they spoke in what? Other tongues. That was a spiritually refreshing experience. What does Paul the Apostle write about speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14? In 1 Corinthians 14, this is just a review of the last lesson. He says, when a person speaks in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:2, he's not speaking to human beings. When a man speaks in tongues, when a woman speaks in tongues, they are speaking to God. You're communicating directly to God. And when you speak in tongues, in 1 Corinthians 14:4, you are edifying yourself. You are being built up on the inside. Now, if you take a light fixture, right, and you plug it into the outlet, the power source. Once it's plugged into the power source, power is transferred from the outlet to the light fixture, turning the light on, right? There's a transference of power. You agree with that?
Yes.
We've all seen it. Well, when you speak in tongues, when you pray in tongues to God, guess what? You're connecting to the ultimate power source. And the power that is resident in God is transferred to you so that you have the ability to climb out of the pit you might be in today into the palace of God's abundance for your life. And some of you today may not speak in tongues, but God can give you that experience. You may speak in English, and God understands English. But when you're in your private devotional times, just pray and say, God, I want this experience of speaking in other tongues. Just open your mouth, start moving it, and God will fill it. Somebody once said, it seems that God does nothing except what? Except someone prays. It seems that God does nothing except someone prays. When you pray to God in tongues or in English, He listens. He's there listening. And He will respond back to you. Conversation with God is not one-sided. Conversation with God is two ways. You speak to God in tongues or in English. God listens, and He responds to you back with your answer. So my question today to you is this. What problem, what challenge, what difficulty are you facing today? Is it poverty? Is it sickness? Is it depression? A broken relationship? A question on who to marry? What career to walk into? what ministry to be a part of, what church to attend. What question are you facing today? You know, when people face questions and challenges, a lot of times what they do is they go to their own finite minds, their human understanding. And our finite minds, friends, are limited. You know, your mind may tell you, well, this is a good idea. This is a good move. And friend, that's all it might be, is a good idea and a good move. And a good idea may end up in trouble. What kind of idea do you want in your life? You want the God idea, not the good idea. You want the God move, not the good move. You want the God step, not just the good step. You know what? God's mind is infinite. It's unlimited. God sees your life from the very beginning into eternity. He knows what steps you're to take in your life. He knows what detour you're at right now. He knows the challenge you're facing right now. Don't consult your own mind. Consult the Spirit of the living God, and He will speak to you the right step, the God step to take. In order to take the God step and not just the good step, you need to do what? In order to take the God step, the God plan, and not just the good plan, you need to hear the voice of God. Let's turn to John 10, verse 16. Let's see what Jesus says. John 10, 16. When you have it, just look up. I'll know you're there. All right. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. A friend of mine told me a story about an experience he had in Israel. They were in the country visiting some of the famous biblical sites when they saw a group of sheep herders. A shepherd brought his flock of sheep into a round pen for the night. Then a few minutes later, another shepherd brought his flock into the pen. Then yet a few minutes later, yet another shepherd brought his sheep into the pen. There were three groups of sheep in the pen with no identifying marks amongst any of them. My friend wondered how in the world they would separate their sheep the next day. The next morning, a shepherd came over to the pen and made a comment to his sheep. One by one, the sheep filed out to follow him. Only his sheep followed his voice. My friend said it was an amazing scene to see, only that the shepherd's sheep would follow him and the others remain in the pen. What a picture of Jesus' words spoken centuries earlier. Hearing and responding to Jesus' voice is the key to having a two-way relationship with God. It is the difference between having religion and relationship. Can you recognize God's voice in your life? Are you listening to the shepherd's voice? Do you respond when he calls? Ask Jesus to help you help increase your ability to hear. Give more time to spending quiet moments in his presence to hear his voice. He wants to be your good shepherd. That's amazing, isn't it? He wants us to hear and discern his voice. Let's turn to Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. Paul the Apostle writes, wait for you to turn there. And he writes, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. How many here are a follower of Jesus Christ? All of us, right? Then guess what? You are a son of God, and you ought to be led by the Spirit of God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, you are a son of God, and you ought to be led by the Spirit of God. You ought to hear His voice, discern His voice amongst all the other voices trying to speak into your life. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about some of the Bible personalities that were led by the Spirit of God. How many here remember Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament? Elijah the prophet. How many would agree that Elijah the prophet was a son of God. He was a son of God, right? He heard from God, and then he spoke to the people what God was saying. Now, let me give you some background here. Let's turn to 1 Kings 19. Elijah had 450 false prophets of Baal slaughtered. And Queen Jezebel, the queen of Israel, found out about it. And she said, I am going to take Elijah's life. And so immediately Elijah became fearful and intimidated by Jezebel. So he went to the mountain of God, Horeb, and he went into a cave and spent the night there. So we'll pick up at 1 Kings 19, verse 9. Give you a second there, and it says this. 19, verse 9. So Elijah here is full of intimidation. He's running from Jezebel thinking, this woman is going to take my life. So he hides in a cave.
19, verse 9.
Then he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. So Elijah had a problem. Would you agree? He was running and hiding from Jezebel. Verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Verse 15. The Lord said to him, go back to the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And also anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Meloah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Hazael. And Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Verse 18, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. Now here's my question. We understand the story here, right? In what form did the voice of God, Spirit, speak to Elijah? It's in verse 12. It's open book. It was a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper of peace. So how is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit will speak to your human spirit today? Gentle whisper. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just the way God's Spirit spoke to Elijah is the way He wants to speak to our human spirits today. It's the gentle whisper of peace. And hence the message today, the victor's green light. You may have a question for God. God, what do I do? What direction do I take? Do I go this way? Do I talk to this person? Do I go to this church? And if God is giving you the green light, the go-ahead, the yes, you'll have a peace on the inside that surpasses any human understanding. Just God's gentle whisper of peace right here. Now, if God is giving you the red light, if God is saying, no, don't go that way, you'll have no peace on the inside, only turmoil. And that's God saying, no, don't do that. Don't talk to that person. Don't go that way. You know, what does the world call it? The world has a phrase for it. What does the world call it? They call it following your gut. It's right here. Right where your heart is, your chest. Following your gut. We as believers in Jesus Christ follow our spiritual gut. The Holy Spirit of God wants to speak to your human spirit. So when you have a question for God, when you have a problem, and you're praying in tongues, or you're praying in English, God, this is what it is. God listens. And then God, by His Spirit, will respond and give you the answer in your human spirit, right here. Your spiritual gut. Your spiritual heart. Let me give you a personal story here about back in 99, I started looking for a place to buy. I was living with my parents in Broken Arrow during grad school in a garage bedroom. It was about 85 square feet. Had no AC in the summer. I was like, man, I was there for about 4.5 years, and I thought to myself, I need to make a change. So back in 99, I started looking for some real estate to buy in Tulsa. I began looking for condominiums. And I looked for about a year, maybe a year and a half, looking, researching, looking at different places, and I just had no peace on the inside. And after about a year, a little over a year, my realtor brought me to this place, about December of 2000, walked inside it, went up, was nicely painted. I just felt the peace of God deep down inside in my spirit. God was saying, this is the place for you to buy. And I'm so glad I listened, I obeyed the voice of God. It was a very good decision. Over years, I hosted home Bible fellowships, Bible studies for young adults with the church. And it was also good because it's 2 bedrooms and 1 bathroom. So one of the bedrooms, over many years, I was able to rent and make an extra income. So it was a very good decision that I made. Not a good decision. It was a God decision. I was following the gentle whisper of peace that God was giving me deep down on the inside. Now, friends, if God did it for me, He can do it for you. He is no respecter of persons. You agree? Straight out of the Bible. The gentle whisper of peace. Back in 2005, put a team together of 4 people to go to South India and do missions work. From about 98 to 2005, we did a lot of missions work in the country of India. I think it was late 2004 that a tsunami hit India, devastated the country and other Asian countries. God put it on my heart to go to India. So for the first half of 2005, I put a team together. And so the night before we left for India, one of my team members called me. And he said, Jonathan, I have a concern here. I need to tell you something. This was about a day before we flew out to India, in the summer of 2005. He said, I've had a medical emergency and the doctors are saying I should not travel to India right now. And let me tell you, at that point, my mind started racing back and forth. Oh my goodness, God, did I miss you? Do we reschedule this? Do we just cancel the trip? God, what do I do? I lost half my team because he was married, older man. So he and his wife decided not to come at that time. But in the midst of the turmoil in my mind, deep down in my spirit, I heard the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit's peace saying, go, this is the time, do it. Don't cancel the trip, don't reschedule it. So myself and the other team member, just 2 of us, went out there in the summer of 2005. It was great. We taught in a Bible school in South India. And we brought the gospel to a village in South India who had never heard the gospel before. They were hearing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, for the very first time. And so many of them were saved. So glad that I listened to the gentle whisper of God's Spirit. If I can do it, friend, you can do it. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me resides on the inside of you. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. How many here believe that Cornelius and Peter in Acts chapter 10 were sons of God? Acts chapter 10. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Let's read this account. Cornelius and Peter. Verse 1. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing.
He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius! Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Verse 5, now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 14, surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gates. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Verse 19. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Verse 21. Peter went down and said to the man, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? You can read on from there. Now, who spoke to Peter in this account? Who spoke to Peter? It's right there in verse 19. The Spirit said to him, said to Peter. The still small voice of the Spirit spoke to Peter. Friend, if you're facing a question, listen to the Spirit's voice of peace. Because on the other side of your miracle is God speaking to someone else, like Cornelius and Peter. And when your paths cross, the miracle-working power of God will go into effect. And God's will be done in your life. Listen to the gentle voice of peace. Because on the other side of your miracle, like Cornelius, God is speaking with a gentle voice of peace to someone else. And in His divine timing, when your paths cross, God's miracle-working power will go into effect in your life. And you will climb out of the pit you're in today and into the palace of God's provision and abundance for your life. But you've got to hear the voice of God and discern it amongst so many other voices vying for your attention. I'll give you another story here in my life. Last October of 2008, you probably know, we work on people's houses in Tulsa as a way to earn a living. And I was needing a helper that was more consistent to help me in the business, because it's some pretty tough labor that we do. So this was back in October of 08. And something just set on the inside of me. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit of God, the gentle whisper of peace. Said to me, tonight when you go to outreach on Friday night, amongst the people who go out, look for a helper. With the church, we go out on Friday nights. I was at the day center. And so who happened to be at the day center that night? One of the volunteers was Brett Patterson. And out of nowhere, I just came up to Brett and said, hey, Brett, would you like a job? You want to work with me? And he was like, sure. What time do you need me there in the morning? I said, such and such a time. He showed up faithfully the next morning and helped me out. And he's been with me now for almost 9 or 10 months. Consistent and diligent. But the good part of it is this. You want to come up here for a second, Brett? The good part of it is that Brett told me that as God was speaking to me about looking for somebody amongst those volunteers to help me in my business, God was speaking to him about a job. You want to share that?
Right. Well, we go there to the day center every Friday night. There's a ministry of people, and I was asking the guy, hey, what do you need? And he's like, I need a job really bad, and I'm going to give you my number and everything. So I'm like, well, I'll try to help you out the best I can and everything. And so after I got done talking to him, Jonathan waved me over. He's like, hey, I need a job, or I need a helper. So that goes to show me is that what you sow is that you're going to reap. I was trying to help him, and then God blessed me at the job, and it's been really good. Because I work so much, and I don't have time to go out and, you know, go to clubs or do that sort of thing. Just live, you know, good life.
So was God kind of talking to you about getting a job, or maybe that a job opportunity would come across your path, something like that?
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't working at all, you know. And so since then, I've been able to work, and I got my own lawn business started up. So.
That's awesome. So God was speaking to me. He was speaking to Brett. Our paths crossed, and the miracle-working power of God went into effect. And praise God, I got a good helper. Faithful, diligence. He's got his own business now. He's doing really well with that, and he helps me at the same time. Thanks, Brett. I appreciate that. So if God did it for us, friends, he can do it for you. But be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. When God is giving you the green light, the go-ahead, you'll have a peace on the inside. If God is giving you the red light, he's saying, no, stop, don't go that way, don't make that move. You'll have turmoil, no peace on the inside. Follow the Spirit's leading. Those who are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And friend, you can hear God's voice. He wants to speak to you with that peace on the inside, your spiritual heart right here where your chest is. But hearing is just part of the puzzle. Not only should you hear, the other part of the puzzle is that you need to obey what he's telling you to do. It's hearing and obeying. And when you obey what God is telling you to do by his Spirit, a miracle will occur in your life. The depression will go and joy will come into your life. Poverty will leave and provision will come into your life. The sickness will disappear and God's wholeness will come into your body. That broken relationship will be mended. That new career will be begun. That new ministry opportunity will open up to you. But be sensitive to the voice of God's Spirit of peace. Amen?
Amen.
Pray to God. Speak to God in English, in tongues, and God will respond back to you. Amen?